Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so much to say to his people, and he loves us. Now, the last broadcast, we talked about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and how wonderful it is to do so. And I can testify that I've learned many things from seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, those who take the Lord at his word, they learn some things that they can't learn any other way. When we begin to read the word of God, we learn something we desperately need right up front. But as we do those things, we finish learning. We continue the learning process. We learn so much from reading what God said. That's why we get faith. See, in the world, we're used to knowledge. You get knowledge and you act on it. And that's all it is to it. You either do or don't act on it. Well, with God's word, it's knowledge, because faith begins where the will of God is known. But faith is greater than just retaining knowledge. Faith is something you act on. Even though you act on knowledge, there are promises within faith. And with faith, you can direct your life. The Lord told me once that faith is a definer. And I was reading Mark chapter 11, verses, the faith scriptures, verses 20 through 25. And I was studying the faith scriptures, and it was teaching that how faith works. If you believe and doubt not in your heart, you will say to this mountain, "Be removed," and it'll be removed. If you believe and doubt not in your heart. Well, when I studied that scripture, the Lord showed me that. He said, faith is a definer. You can speak things that you need to speak. And Jesus put it this way also. He said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The next steps of your life is you order it here. This is where we order life, here on earth. And heaven backs it up, according to the faith, the knowledge of God that you receive. And when we receive God's word in our heart, we can live from that word. We can put a demand on our life according to God's will, which is his word. The word of God has faith in it. But when we act on the word of God and we govern our lives by his word, then we put something in motion that's going to benefit us. So when you seek first the kingdom of God, you're seeking to know God and you're obeying him, you're putting greater things in motion, and it's going to benefit you. Everything that you learn from the Lord will benefit you, and it's going to work out. That's how life continues. You're continuing the life process as you take God at his word and obey him. Now, you've taken God at his word, you've obeyed him, you've done this, you've done what he said do by your faith. And then you're going to learn what happens afterwards. Now, Jesus said, if you love those that love you and love those that are good for you, what thank have you? But if you love those that are not good to you and don't love you and don't do right by you, he was showing that that's honorable to God. Now, let's say you love somebody that have not loved you. They've not walked in love with you. They have no history of being kind to you. And you're good to them anyway, in the name of the Lord. You're doing this because Jesus said it. And they continue to do things that hurt you, but you love them anyway. Over time, something's going to happen. And it's going to be good. You're going to see why the Lord said do it the way he did. You're going to learn things that you didn't know before. Let's say you believe in God for something you need. You've never done it before. You've heard about how others have believed him. And now you're believing him for your need, your crisis. You've done everything you know. You've taken God at his word. And then, because you did, and you believed and you didn't doubt in your heart, and you spoke the word and you stayed in faith about it, now you're going to get to know what God's going to do. You know, the first time God honors your faith like that, especially if you never had him to operate in your life that way, and you took God at his word, and the outcome was good and favorable, a new confidence comes about. You know God in a new way. Now, Job said at the end of his condition, He said, I heard of God by the hearing of the ears, but now I see with my eyes. In other words, what he's saying is, I heard that God was good. Through all the stories, all the conversation of my fathers and my relationship with the Lord was good. My experiences were good. But now I see for myself that God is faithful. After the conversation he had with the Lord, this is what is needed in the body of Christ. This has been what is missing for so long. Very few people have a thriving relationship with the Lord where the Lord can talk to them and they respond. And a lot of people, they govern their lives without relating to the Lord on a daily basis. And sometimes people only relate to the Lord when there's something bad wrong. And some people, they ask for the Lord for things, and they don't talk to him. And they don't get to know his word. They don't get to know what he's saying. And they don't get to realize what he's doing. And that's not good. That's not God's best. We need to know him. He has much to say, much to help us with. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is not just a method to get you better off financially. It's not just to get clothes on your back, food in your stomach, and car you can drive around in, or a house you can live in. God is too much more than that. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it will help you throughout your life. God has more to say to you than solving your need problems. I noticed a lot of preachers, they used to always want to be the next great minister. And they were trying to become the next great minister, pastor, preacher, on TV, radio, whatever. They wanted to be well known and famous. And they've put themselves under tremendous stress trying to do it. And I saw it for what it was. I said, that's not good. Even though they're trying to do good by people and get people saved and into heaven, that's a bad motive. I said, Lord, teach me how to live. Just teach me how to live. And if I can live according to your word and enjoy life, I can win souls. I wanted him to not just teach me how to live and enjoy my life, my personal life. No, I was asking him, teach me how to live, how to express your love, how to be appropriate in any given situation. Sometimes as ministers, we're not always appropriate. Sometimes we need to say something when we see things that's wrong. Sometimes we need to love people where they're at. The main thing we need is to know how to follow God, how to thrive in his wisdom, how to thrive in his wisdom, how to do things according to his wisdom. Now, if I'm not good at solving my own problems with my own mind and by myself, my mind's not good enough to solve anybody else's problems either. But if I can yield to the Holy Spirit in my life, and then when I minister to others, I yield to the Lord to help them, I can help somebody. Now, Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. Even our good ideas, good intentions, and even though we mean well, and I say this all the time, I'm just rehearsing, but it's a different spin. It's a different angle. Following God, God knows the people personally, and he can cause you to say what they need at the right time, and it can make a serious difference. Now, Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The people were in spiritual competition, trying to outspeak in tongues each other, outpraise each other, outprophesy each other, trying to be the next great famous preacher within their four walls. They wanted to be well known, close to God, preeminent, and they were trying to out-preach and out-speak in tongues and prophesy each other. Now, while they were praying in tongues, so the Holy Spirit helped them pray for what they really need. And what they really needed was Paul's letter to them about what they were doing. So even though they were in competition, the Holy Spirit doesn't waste things. Even though they were wrong in one way, they were praying in the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit said they need order. And he activated Paul's anointing to write them a letter to give them order and structure. And one of the things he said, if a person comes off the street that's unlearned, unfamiliar with the things of God, and everybody's speaking in tongues, they're going to think that you're crazy. They're going to think you're nuts. They're going to think something's wrong with your brain, something's wrong with your mind. He said, but covet more to prophesy, because when he comes in and hear the personal things that only God will know, and you're talking about the things that only he knows about, he's going to honor God. And it'll be, and if it's done in order, he even said, Let two or three prophesy and let one interpret. Or let two or three speak in an unknown tongue and then let one person interpret. So if two or three people, three at the most, speak in tongue while everybody can hear it, this is not like a prayer meeting. Now, a prayer meeting is different. Everybody in the church, nobody's really coming from the outside. And you're just having prayer, and everybody's praying. That's okay. But he was talking about in a public meeting where strangers may come. Only that two or three people in that setting praying, speaking tongues. And then let one person interpret it. Now, whoever interpreted it last time, if they're there, they're able to do it again. And whoever else has been known to give an interpretation to tongues, there that you can tell that they're there. So when the Lord prompts you to speak in tongues, he's going to prompt them to interpret it so everybody can be edified. God does things in wisdom. And hopefully the person that can interpret it, or the person who should be speaking in tongues in a setting, hopefully they won't freeze and not do it. Sometimes Christians chicken out and they don't do what they should do. But see, when you're following God day by day, whenever he needs you to do something, you're ready. You're more apt to do it. It's more likely that you'll follow through. But if you don't go in God's presence and enjoy his presence and learn his ways, then you're less likely to follow him when he needs you to do something. The Holy Spirit gives you something to do and you run home, or you hide, or don't give it. You quench the spirit. That's not good for you.
Now,
I know a lady, she said the Lord was giving her words of knowledge for people. And it always came to pass. And she got scared and asked the Lord to stop doing it. I wish he didn't do that, because her children, they, when the, you know, the Lord would use them, but they wouldn't, you know, what you put in motion, you're going to see it some more in your children. If you do something that's wise, then your children will pick it up and continue, just like Timothy's grandmother, Eunice. He said, the same gifts, I noticed the same gifts in you that were in your grandmother Eunice. So, spiritual gifts can be transferred throughout the generations. But if you quench the spirit, you influence your children greatly to do the same thing. But if you're faithful, you influence your children to be faithful. This means that if you do wrong, you can leave hurdles for your children to jump. That doesn't mean that they'll do exactly what you did or do worse than you did. But it'll be hard for them to follow God if you won't follow God. But if you do follow God, it'll be much easier. The chances are much higher that they'll follow through. It won't be a struggle for them. If you're brave, your children, they'll be brave. It'll multiply away. Now, wise parents, this is what they want. Foolish parents want to do better than their children. Wise parents want their children to do greater than they did. Even Jesus said, he that believe will do greater works than me, because I go to my Father. See, he won't be here continuing to build on his foundation. He's going to be with the Father, which he did. But we can pick it up, and we can do greater works than he did. If we believe, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it works. It works good. You're going to love it. You're going to have new abilities. And you're going to be blessed, and you're going to cause other people to be blessed as well. Very important. As we go forward in the Lord, doing his perfect will, seeking him out, things change throughout our lives. But if we fall short, don't go forward, hardly do God's will, don't spend time with the Father, things start happening negatively. Or things will be what people call normal, which is really a strange living from God. A strange living from God is considered normal, acceptable. Following God to some people is scary and unknown, not normal. They fear what others will think. But when you know God and you operate in his wisdom, your life becomes very attractive, a blessing, a light, a preserver, a divider. And you'll divide what's false from what's true. You set a division as you follow God. Everything that's not true, it won't cling to you. But and things that are false, you will drive it out of your life because you expose it for what it is. Now, the Jews were supposed to drive out the Philistines. It's not hard to drive out darkness. All you have to do is live the light, and darkness will flee. Submit your lives, therefore. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Let me say it this way. Submit your whole life to God. Whatever he say goes. Whatever he say is what you do, what you act on. Then the devil's going to try to get you to back off. Expose him for the liar that he is by doing what's right, by loving people, by praying the will of God throughout your life. And tell him no. I will do it God's way. And then he will run from you as in terror, because you won't stop obeying God. And your life is getting stronger and stronger.
And whatever he tries to do against you will fail. And Satan loves to be, he loves preeminence, and he wants to be seen victorious, not defeated. But if he comes around people that love their God, they'll tell him that he can't work in their lives. And he'll immediately have to stop, and he'll look foolish. And also, he's terrified of Jesus when people believe in Jesus. This is why there's a negative influence throughout the world against Jesus Christ. People that love darkness, they seek to work against Jesus. It bothers them. Because Satan is afraid of Jesus, people that love the world system, they're afraid too. They feel uneasy. They feel fearful when people who really love Jesus come around. And they try to bully people that are unstable against Christ. And a lot of people that wouldn't see first the kingdom of God, when they go to college in America, their faith is shaken by their professors and teachers and counselors. And sometimes the students who give heed to the false doctrines of the professors in America. In some circles, it's not always popular to do what's right. They teach right, doing what's right is relevant. And they call themselves good. But nobody's good but God. God is good. Follow him. If you follow him, you're made righteous by his blood and strengthened in the word of God to do what's right. Enjoy life. Enjoy the truth of God's word. No matter what happens wrong, use God's wisdom to overcome it. And you're going to see what the old preacher's talking about. God loves his people. His love always overcomes the pride and the filthiness of man. But once it's exposed. And there's nothing Satan can do about those who expose him for the liar that he is. But those who love the Lord, those who know him will be strong and do exploits. Those who seek him will find. Those that knock, it will be open. Those who ask, they will receive. And they'll see how easy it is to win. Because God truly loves his people. And he cares about us in every way of life. In every way of life. Real great things are ahead. And then the good that you do, the kindness that you act on, everything that's of God, the Lord will reward you greatly for all of your efforts. And when people don't promote you and you're doing the right thing, and Satan say, well, you're foolish for continuing to do right and they're not doing you right. I've experienced it myself. God will promote you somewhere else for doing what's right where you are. When they complain and backbite and steal and the company goes belly up, the Lord will open doors for those who did right. And they were persecuted and they were given bad advice and they continued to live a life of integrity. God saw it, wrote it down, remembered it, and he added it all up, and he'll bless your life for it and promote you openly somewhere else if he has to. Or he'll promote you and you'll end up running the whole thing and changing it. See, if somebody's in charge of something long enough, whatever they're in charge of will take on their personality. So now you got a loving boss in charge, the whole company will be loving. But if you have one that loves the world, it'll start failing. And God blesses some people because his people work there. And the whole company is better off and blessed. Not because they're doing right. Not because they're wise, but because his people are there. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.